We have a very busy synagogue this morning. Several services that you will hear about later going on. And it just contradicts, as I've said before, that comment that there are two reasons why Jews don't come to services, because the weather is beautiful and because the weather is lousy. When my father was first ordained as a rabbi, his first pulpit after the service, after being in the Marines, was in Charleston, South Carolina. And there, among many other interesting people, he met a man who was a lawyer. His name was Irving Steinberg, and Irving Steinberg had had polio as a child and walked with a brace and with a limp. And Steinberg had lived in Charleston his whole life, and he told my father once that he made his fortune as a lawyer by traveling to the North and sitting around the table with lawyers representing big corporations and saying, "Now, I'm just a poor old boy from the South. I don't understand what you guys are talking about," and then taking them for everything they were worth. And he was a very shrewd man and a very wealthy man. And after my father was the rabbi of the synagogue for a year, he came up to my father and he said, "Look, this rabbi business seems to me pretty difficult. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I will put you through law school for free, and all you have to do, you don't have to do any legal work, all you have to do is plead my cases before the jury." My father foolishly turned down the offer and stayed in the rabbinate. But this story came to me two or three days ago when I was looking through this week's Torah portion, and I was trying to figure out, as I sometimes do, who is the person in the Torah portion whose feelings we don't consider. I've seen a lot of writing about the place of Pharaoh and the place of Moses, and the kotzer ruach, the impatience and oppression of the people, but there is one person who is critical in this story whose emotions, as far as I know, are not written about. And that's Aaron. Don't forget, everything that is reported as Moses having said it, who really said it? Aaron. God appoints Aaron to be the mouthpiece, the spokesman, if you will, the ghostwriter. Aaron is the ghostwriter of the Torah. And it's a very strange thing that we don't think about that. We always say it's Torat Moshe, and this is what Moses said, and poor Aaron, who's the guy who said it, doesn't receive much recognition. A ghostwriter, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is somebody who really writes the book. When you have stars, celebrities, others who want to write a book, they'll tell the ghostwriter, "Oh, well, you know, at this point, I don't know, I was in an accident." And the ghostwriter will then say, "As I was rounding the curve, I suddenly was startled to realize another car was coming towards me," and so on. And they give color. I remember growing up in Philadelphia, there was a very well-known and very successful basketball player named Charles Barkley, who wrote his autobiography. And when someone said to him that he said something in his autobiography that wasn't true, he said, "I was misquoted." Because he worked with a ghostwriter, never read it. So what is it that the story of Aaron tells us? It tells us what D.H. Lawrence said about his novels. He said, "Trust not the teller, but the tale." In other words, don't pay attention to the storyteller, pay attention to the story. It is the story that grabs us. And so irrelevant, so unimportant is the fact that Aaron is telling it that we don't even think about it. I mean, imagine the scene, which I was doing, sitting in my office for the first time. I was thinking, it couldn't be that Moses was standing next to Aaron, and every single sentence said, now tell him to let my people go. And Aaron would say, let my people go. Right? Aaron had to formulate some of his own words. God even says, I will make you a prophet. Your prophet will be Aaron. And a prophet is somebody who receives a message from God and puts it in his own words. And Aaron is somebody who received God's message from Moses and presumably, though we can't prove it, put it in his own words. I bring this up for two reasons. The first is that I've had the experience, and I assume that you have as well this week, of being touched by the stories. Like everybody, I've seen lots of pictures of what happened. And the pictures of the tsunami, as impressive as some of them are, don't touch me like the stories. If you were to say to me, well, what was the name of the people who told you the stories, or the people who were involved in the stories, I don't remember almost a single name. But I remember the stories. I remember the stories of the parents who talked about trying to save their children. And I remember the stories of the children who are traveling with aunts and uncles from camp to camp trying to find their parents. I remember the story because it is the tale that moves us. And in fact, what journalists have been at their best moments, and they have had some truly wonderful moments, is they're the ghostwriters. They're the ones who have put the story in their own words to tell it to the world. And that is a noble function, and it doesn't matter who the journalist is. Look, there's a huge parade of journalists. For every famous journalist, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are getting a story out that we never heard of. So today, for a moment, I want to applaud the ghostwriters. And of course, because I want to bring it back to us, I want to suggest to you that is the function of the Jewish people. That's what we are supposed to be. We are given a message, and then we have to put it in our own words to articulate it to the world. That's our function. In some ways, people who constantly emphasize how wonderful and how remarkable the Jewish people are and all the things they've accomplished are missing the point. Because the point is the message, not the messenger. Granted, I'm as guilty of that as the next person. I love the long list of Nobel Prizes. But that's not really the point. The point is the message, what it is that we have to say. And when we draw attention only to the messenger, we're losing the fact that the messenger should be transparent. The message should come through without the messenger getting in the way, like Aaron did. Aaron's not there because Aaron didn't say every other sentence. By the way, this is Aaron talking. Because Aharon allowed himself to be transparent, and I think maybe that's why he became the high priest, because the high priest has to always know that God's power is coming through him. Not because of him. It doesn't originate with him. He is getting it from another source and giving it to another source. He's a prism. He refracts the light. It comes through him. And that's what we're supposed to be in this world. We're supposed to receive light and send it out, altered a little bit by our individual souls and the way that we formulate messages. As you may know, later this year, And now I'm going to begin to talk about it in earnest. I only talked about it on the high holidays, but you'll hear about it often now. In May, we're going to Israel in order to pick up a Sefer Torah. In other words, to retrieve the message. The trip is in May. It begins May 8th, and we will be back on the 16th for 1 week to see as much of Israel as we can see. We'll be in Jerusalem all week long to put a note in the wall, to retrieve the Torah, to see the land. In other words, to help us, all of us in our lives, renew the message. I hope that many of you will join me and my family on this trip, because we are supposed to be about the message. And periodically, there are events in the world, and events in the Torah cycle, that remind us that actually our egos get in the way of our attainments and our accomplishments. And we need to step aside for a moment and to take hold of what it is that we are supposed to be about. Just a second ago, I came from a service. I hope they will come in at the very end. I was trying to persuade them to. They thought they would disrupt us, but I assured them they wouldn't. There are between 300 and 350 teenagers from all over the country who are here for the weekend and are praying at Sinai Temple. And one of the things that I tried to tell them is that they were all bearers of a message, and that that's what counts, and that the message was about shaping their soul and all the other things that they'll hear about what they have to accomplish and the money they have to make and the goods they have to accumulate. None of those are of the essence. Of the essence is the message. If you find it slipping away from you in your daily life, then come with us. Renew your sense of what the message of our people is. I hope you will join me. And we won't learn the story for the first time, but we will learn it anew together. Shabbat Shalom.